In this hour of Focus 580, we will be talking about online journalism. And our guest for the program today is Gary Kebble. He is the news director for America Online. He's the editor in charge of AOL News, which has been shown consistently now to rank in among the top online news sites. He's also in charge of AOL's government, politics, elections, and international areas. He directed AOL's coverage of the September 11th terrorist attacks. He also led the Election 2000 coverage, and he oversees a staff of 14 who update news on AOL, AOL TV, and AOL.com. He's a graduate of the University of Illinois. He studied journalism and political science here. Before going to work for AOL, he also was involved in the online editions of the Washington Post, also Newsweek, and USA Today. He's visiting here the campus, spending some time talking with journalism students here at U of I, and was good enough to come by and spend some time with us. And questions are certainly welcome. The number, if you're here in Champaign-Urbana, you'd like to be a part of the conversation, 333-9455. We also have toll-free line, good anywhere you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. So at any point here, you had questions, comments, you can call. The only thing we ask of people is there, just try to be brief so we can keep things moving, but anybody's welcome to call. Well, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
For people who are not familiar with AOL News, and obviously you have to be an AOL subscriber to get AOL News, they may not be quite sure what this is, although they may be familiar with other kinds of similar products that are offered by other providers. Basically, here what we're talking about is a page that you can go to that has the day's news. And maybe the difference between what you're doing at AOL and what some other people may be doing is that you're not doing your own reporting. What you're doing is going out there in the media world, trying to look at everything that's available, picking stories, and then have it on your site. So could be a story from CNN, could be a story from New York Times, could be a story from the Associated Press. You're trying to put together a package for someone who wants to know what's going on and go to your site and read sources from all over the place.
Exactly right. And one of the things that we have to distinguish is that the free and open on the web is AOL.com. And that is a separate site and a separate entity, and it's not what we're talking about. The AOL proprietary service is the one that about 34 million people sign up for. And of that 34 million, about 24 million every month come to AOL News. That makes it, according to ComScore Media Metrics, the largest news site on the Internet. And that's followed by Yahoo and MSNBC and CNN.
Mm-hmm. What do we know about users of online news in terms of how many of them there are, but also do we know some things about who they are and what their news habits in general are? That is, in addition to maybe they spend some time looking at Yahoo or they spend some time looking at AOL News. What else are they looking at? Do they also read the newspaper? Are they also watching TV news? Are they also reading The Atlantic? You know, what do we know about these people?
Specifically, online news users, we probably don't know the exact answers to your questions. What we do know is that the more time that people spend online, the less time they spend watching TV. And now, what are they doing online? Is it games? Is it something else completely, or is it news? That we don't exactly know yet. But what we do know is that every time that there's a major news event, the spike of traffic to online news sites really increases, and increases way above what the previous average traffic had been. And the traffic then falls, but it never falls back to the previous level. So every major news event brings new people online, and our assumption is they like what they see, and they start becoming used to it, and they come back. But interestingly, the most frequently visited news sites, and AOL News is one of the most frequently visited news sites as well as the largest news site. And by frequently visited, I mean the same person visiting again and again and again. That's still only anywhere from 8 to 9 times a month. So there's a lot of room to grow.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I wonder about, obviously, there are a variety of sources of news. If there was some, say that there's some sort of breaking event, there's National Public Radio. There are 24-hour news channels now. People can go to MSNBC. They can go to CNN. If it's a big enough event, the over-the-air broadcast networks may indeed go into continuous coverage. And then there are the other sources. There are whatever you can find on the newsstand. And I guess there the problem with them is if something happens now, it's going to take them a while to get that story. So probably what you're going to do is you're going to tune to the broadcast sources, or you're going to go online. What do we know about people who do go online to get their news, and why are they choosing, do we know anything about why they're choosing that rather than some other way of getting the same information?
I think it depends on when the story breaks. Okay. If the story breaks when you're at work, you're going to go online. A lot of times you may not have a radio at your desk. You may not have access to a TV. Most computers at work now have a browser, and they can access the Internet. So if the story breaks during the working hours, online news is there and is heavily used. If the story breaks in the evening when people are at home, frankly, they'd be silly not to turn on TV, and they do. But those who missed it know that they have the opportunity to do what we call time shifting. And they can catch up on the news, they can see that video, they can hear that audio later at their convenience, which is one of the great pleasures of online news.
Yeah. The one thing that you can do that makes online news, I suppose, something of a hybrid of traditional print sources and broadcast sources is there is the possibility for streaming audio and video, presenting something other than, and of course presenting pictures, but presenting something other than text and pictures like a news magazine would do or a newspaper would do. Although that's still kind of limited. You know, it depends upon what kind of computer person has, depends what kind of connection they have. So it's not going to be as flexible or allow you to do as much as, for example, television would do. You know, how do you see online news fitting in with the other more traditional, conventional purveyors of news?
One of the neat things about online news now is that there's still no right way to do it. Mm-hmm. It's still growing, we're still trying to figure it out, and we're still trying to figure out what do people want, how will they use it, what's the best way to present it. So we're trying a lot of things. I think one of the few things we've learned so far is that to be successful, you have to do what an editor finds abhorrent, which is you have to give up control. Mm-hmm. You have to say, although I have researched this story for a month, although I know the best way for the member, the reader, the user, the viewer to experience the story, I can't direct them online if I'm going to present the best package online. What I have to do is present multiple entry points and allow them to experience it the way they want, and be satisfied with the fact that somebody might read the sidebar first. They might look at the photo gallery and may never read the main bar of the story, but that's okay online. And they might come back a day later to hear the audio. We don't know. Mm-hmm. But you have to, I think, to do it right, you have to give up control and you have to be able to say, although I think I know the best way to experience the story from my point of view, others have a different point of view, so I'm just going to try to imagine all the ways that they might want to experience it, all the questions they might have, and then go from there.
Let me just real quick introduce again our guest. We're talking with Gary Kebble. He is News Director of America Online, and he is the editor in charge of AOL News. It's their news site that's available there for people who are subscribers to AOL.
Correct.
He's here. He's, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, he's a graduate of the University of Illinois, has a journalism degree from here, and was spending some time in the campus to talk with journalism students and was good enough to come talk with us. And again, questions are welcome. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. Well, on any given day when you put together your page and decide what you're going to have there, you have the opportunity to draw on a number of news sources. And I'm sure that on any given day, whatever the biggest stories are, many of them will have a story. So then the question would be, okay, if whatever the big story is, shall we run the version that was offered by CNN? Shall we run the version that was offered by New York Times, LA Times, CBS, NBC? You know, we could go on and on and on. So how do you decide which source you're going to draw from.
We tell all of our partners that what we're interested in is the best story at the moment. We don't even have to say the best story today because there's going to be a lot of moments and the story is going to change. So we want the best story at the moment from whoever has that. And not only the best story, but what we put together is what we call a package of main bar, sidebar, related links, audio, video, community, all, you know, message boards, chats, all the above. So it might be that right now time.com has the best timeline explaining the latest story or the latest situation in Iraq, let's say. And it might be that 2 hours from now, NewYorkTimes.com has written a better piece. It's not a graphical explainer, but it's a better explainer. So we'll substitute in and out because our editors are checking those partners all the time. Their only goal is to create the best total package that answers the most questions and leaves the fewest niches uncovered.
Hmm. Do you pay them for the content?
Sometimes.
Sometimes you do. Do they ever pay you for your using their content?
They used to. In the days of the big internet boom when venture capitalism was like throwing money all over the place, yeah, we a lot of people paid us for the exposure on AOL. Because one of the things I need to point out is that the AOL welcome screen, which is our term for the homepage, is the single most visited page in cyberspace. That's valuable real estate.
Yeah. Well, and I can imagine that working either way, that you would feel that naturally you're going to have to pay for content, or that there would be justification for you saying for them, look, you know, for you, we're helping you to distribute your product. This is free advertising. Of course, we should expect you to pay us for having your material on our site. So I can see one expecting either to go one way.
Negotiations are very interesting. Yeah.
So then how much of that content actually essentially is free to you? That is, you don't pay them, they don't pay you. It's just an even, you say, we'd like to run your article. They say, fine, run the article, and that's that.
Every deal is different, and you've hit on the various types of them. Sometimes we pay, sometimes they pay, sometimes it's a free exchange. It really depends on the goal of the partner. Does the partner feel that he or she has enough traffic, doesn't want to buy any more servers, is satisfied with the level of their traffic? What they want is money. Or vice versa, do they feel that they really need more traffic so that they can charge more for their ads? It relates a lot to their goals.
Yeah. Take something like, one of the sites I probably look at frequently is the website of the New York Times. And I just go right to the New York Times. Do you have some idea about, or does New York Times, for example, have some idea of all the people that look at their site, how many just go right to the New York Times and how many go through somebody else, like your page, for example?
Yes. Yeah. They definitely are tracking. We have special tracking URLs that are established for our various partners. So every partner knows precisely how much traffic AOL is driving to that partner.
Well, do you have any idea, say, like on any given day, say, take one, and I just sort of pick the New York Times, and maybe there's some other you would do, but just how many people, how many people just go right to the New York Times, but for example, how many people go to the New York Times by way of AOL?
I don't know the exact numbers on that, and I don't know the relationship between, who visits them on, their own versus going through AOL. I don't know that percentage.
Okay. I am sure that there are people who are suspicious of your choices in regards to those content providers that are owned by the parent company.
Sure.
Like Time, Fortune, People, CNN.
Right.
They would see, so if they see on AOL News, they see something from CNN, so they would say, well, of course they're going to run something from CNN because it's all the same company. Do you make some deliberate attempt to make it clear that you're not favoring those content providers that are essentially in the AOL Time Warner family?
We make a deliberate attempt to get the best story, and we tell all of our partners we don't care where it comes from. Our goal is to have the most complete and the best, most thorough news package at that moment. And if a particular partner thinks that we should have used their story instead of some other story, our reply to them was, but the niche that was needed to be covered was only answered by this other partner. Or the other partner wrote it better, did it better, whatever. If you want to be used, you have to be better.
Mm. And has the management at the top, AOL Time Warner, have they said anything to you about, we expect that a certain percentage of our companies are going to appear on this site?
No, they have not.
No, they haven't. One of the you wrote a paper dealing with some of these issues, and I will admit to you that I stole a line, stole a line from my promo just because I thought it was really good, and that was the question of if is it journalism if a newsroom doesn't have reporters, because that's essentially what you're doing. What you're doing is you're editing your news editors, and you're deciding these are the big stories, these are the stories that we want, these are the versions of the stories that are out there. So this is how we're going to put it together. We think these are the best ones. This is good analysis. This is good breaking coverage. That, you know, whatever. I'm interested in how you think about that very question. That people might say, "Well, what you're doing is not journalism." Not there's anything wrong with that, but because you're not reporting the stories, you're not generating the content, then it's not journalism. It's something else.
Right, and that has been used a lot. And my analogy for that is, let's imagine the Tulsa world in 1950, even 1990 or whenever, but let's say 1950, there's a Wire editor there. The Wire editor has no reporters. The Wire editor has 12 columns to fill that day, probably has only one wire source, and that wire source is delivering both stories and photos, and that editor scans through the stories, makes the selections, rank orders them, displays them on the page to reflect their relative news importance, decides whether or not to put a photo with the story, decides whether or not to put a chart with it. And no one at that paper or any other paper in the world would ever say that what that editor is doing is not journalism. That's precisely what we do, only we have about 10 times the number of sources. We can do it 10 times better.
Mm-hmm. How did I mentioned that you have been involved with now you've been doing the work with AOL, but before that you were involved with online editions of the Washington Post and of Newsweek and of USA Today. What got you interested in, or how did you get into online journalism?
Frustration. I was at USA Today, the newspaper, and I was the night graphics editor, and my bosses, the two bosses above me, were either my age or younger. I knew that frankly, I wasn't going to be going anywhere for a while, and I was on the night shift, and I was thinking, okay, it's a great job, I love it, but I don't think I want to do it all for the rest of my life. And the other thing about USA Today, the newspaper, the only way it works is in a very templated, rigid, structured organization. Because if a page has to go to the satellite at 7:37 p.m., when you have 33 print sites around the world and you're renting satellite time, it has to go at 7:37 p.m. If it's 2 minutes late, somebody's making a report as to who goofed. Well, you know, that's why the paper can be published in 33 sites, but it's not particularly creative. Once you work within that structure, you know, it's a structure. So I was feeling the walls of that structure, and a note went around from USA Today management saying, "Well, we think we're going to be doing some sort of digital thing. We don't know what. Is anybody interested? Send in your resume." And that's how it started.
Mm-hmm. When organizations like this, you know, particularly those that were traditional, either print or broadcast organizations, started getting involved in the internet, people were just making it up as they were going along. I mean, nobody had done it before. So, as you say, there was maybe no wrong way to do it, because there was just no, it was completely new. And people, maybe the first thing that they did was, well, let's just take the print thing that we do and just put it on the web. Just translated that. So in the beginning, for example, like with the New York Times, you went on their website and it looked like the front page of the New York Times.
And in fact, their name used to be the New York Times Online.
And early on, you could also see a lot of these sites that were poorly designed, that didn't function very well, and partly because maybe the people who were doing them really had never done that before, or didn't really think about how the user would use that differently than they would use the physical newspaper that you would hold in your hand. There were a lot of bad sites. There's still a lot of bad sites. Myself, I think the biggest problem with a lot of these sites is clutter. There's just too much stuff on the screen. But I guess I wonder what, having now done this for a while, what you think that you've learned about how to do it and how it needs to be different from the thing that you can hold in your hand, whether that's magazine or newspaper or you know, whatever. When you're taking that and making it into a thing that a person is going to use on a screen and negotiate on that screen. How does that have to be different?
Well, I like what you said, that there was no wrong way to do it. I think that there was no wrong way to do it because there was no right way to do it. Mm-hmm. And we still, although we're 7-8 years down the road, we still don't know the right way to do it. We know more than we knew 7 years ago. We're creating better presentations. We still don't have enough audience research to know if those better presentations are wanted or needed or used. We're still in a very young phase in this industry, which is what makes it fun and which is what makes it challenging. We're trying to figure out how to do it best, and you're absolutely right. Initially, this medium evolved in probably a very natural way following the evolution of other media. Television newscasts used to be televised radio casts. The television newscast did not take advantage of what TV could offer because nobody at that time knew what it could offer. Mm-hmm. Chroma key wasn't there, and inserting video and all of that was not capable. We weren't capable of it yet. So that's the same evolution that online has followed. It initially was the newspaper, the radio, the TV station content online. And now we're expanding beyond that. Let's take WashingtonPost.com. Is it a newspaper site? But it also has MSNBC video. Is it a TV site? It also has audio that they create themselves. Is it a radio site? And it's the Washington Post brand. Is it a newspaper? And I think the way we need to start thinking about this is it's a news organization. And we just need to be concerned that this organization delivers its news in a variety of ways and stop letting the labels confine us.
Mm-hmm. I suppose that also some people would say that it's not that while it's not a newspaper, it's not an over-the-air broadcaster. It's not any one of those things, but it is in a way, all of those things. I imagine some people would argue, but it's in a way, it's kind of a pale version of all of those things. That it's never what the other medium could be. You know, it's never going to be the New York Times Online is somehow never going to be the New York Times, even though the content may be the same. They might say the same for say the CNN site. It's not what when you turn on your television and you put on CNN, it's not the same. And it somehow can't be. And that in trying to be some kind of hybrid of all of these things, that in fact it's a somehow less satisfying version of those things.
Well, you know, let's take the New York Times, the Chicago Tribune, any newspaper. You and I grew up with that newspaper at our doorsteps, holding it, reading it with our coffee. To us, that's the newspaper. Mm-hmm. What about our kids? They don't read the newspaper. The newspaper to them is not this physical thing that they can hold. And if they're getting news, and if they're getting it online, to them, ChicagoTribune.com is the newspaper.
Yeah. Well, I suppose that raises a good question about users and about whether the people, for example, that might get their news online, are those people who, were it not for the online news sources, would they not be getting any news? Would those same people be reading the newspaper if that's what there was? I guess, you know, the question is, we are told that the audience for news, the real serious audience for news, the people who read one newspaper a day, who may read news magazines, who really are serious consumers, you know, people who listen to NPR, people who maybe every day watch some CNN or watch network news, that those people who are really serious about the news, that is shrinking, and that it tends to be older people rather than younger people. Does the availability of news online bring in people, particularly younger people, who otherwise might not be getting any news at all?
Well, that's clearly the hope. And the point about that is that when you have young people getting their news in that way, you're hoping that you're expanding your audience, but at the same time, what we know about the online news audience, and the definitive answer is not in, but initially it seems like it's not cannibalizing the audience. We're not dividing the audience and saying, okay, we've just taken away from TV news, we've taken away from newspapers, and we've channeled some to online. What we've done is the news consumer has added another vehicle, another way of getting the news. And what they do is they adapt it to their lifestyle. So if they're driving in their car, they're listening to it on the radio. If they're home, they might be watching it on TV or reading the newspaper. And if they're at work or relaxing at home, they might, or in their office, they might be getting it online. So the news consumer is the news consumer. What we've done is we've opened up the avenues for the news consumer who is the traditional news consumer, and we hope we've opened up the road completely for a brand new set of consumers. Mm.
Our guest here in this part of Focus 580 is Gary Kebble. He is news director of America Online. He's the editor in charge of AOL News, which is ranked as has consistently been ranked as one of the top online news sites. He is also in charge of AOL's government, politics, elections, and international areas. He's been working for AOL now for how many years?
Since 1999.
Since 99. And before that was involved in the online editions of Washington Post, USA Today, Newsweek. So he's been working in the area of online journalism for quite a while now. Questions, comments are welcome. 333-WILL. Toll-free 800-222-WILL. By the way, in addition to his work at AOL, he teaches online journalism as an adjunct at Maryland. Is that
University of Maryland.
And has also contributed to Online Journalism Review and the American Press Institute, and has done a lot of speaking, obviously, on this subject around the country. And again, questions welcome, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. I expect that that in addition to knowing how many different people visit your website, you also track what it is on the website people are looking at.
Yes.
I assume. Okay. So you can tell on any given day which of the various articles are getting the most hits.
Yes.
Does that shape your decisions about what you put on the page?
It does in two ways. And we sort of have the luxury of being schizophrenic because we have the welcome screen, our AOL homepage. And that being such a mass market page, we feel that the audience for that is the mass audience. And we feel it's the audience that we're trying to suck into the news, trying to grab for the first time. Okay. So therefore, we treat that, our news presentation on that page, very differently from the presentation on our standard traditional news page. Our news page is our news junkies page. Our news page is traditional. But the news that we put on the welcome screen, a traditional person would probably say, why is that there?
Yeah.
It's more news feature. It's definitely the talker of the day. It's sort of what we learned from USA Today. You know, you would put on the homepage, the front page, a story that people are going to talk about around the water cooler, as well as today's events in Iraq. And both are important to people. So we separate that. Our welcome screen is more the talker, the water cooler story.
And that's, and I'm sure that that's it. That's, I was looking just at the one that I have here on the computer that's sitting on the desk in front of me is MSNBC. And I'm sure that it's the same with the other sites that you have your initial screen. This is the one that you want to grab people with. And then you can then choose to go on to the new site, which has got all the much more hardcore serious news stuff. And I guess that's one of the criticisms that has been made of services like this, particularly what you see when the first screen comes up, that if you're serious about the news, there's a lot of stuff you would say, well, that's junk. I'm not interested in that. Britney Spears' love life is not on my top 10 list. I want to know about the nuclear confrontation with North Korea or, you know, something like that. And I guess that's you can choose and do whatever you want, but I guess maybe the question is, how do you feel about directing resources into reporting on Britney Spears' love life when maybe you would think that what's really important for people to know would be about North Korea?
Well, heaven bless bookmarks. And so people can access whatever news they want real easily. Mm-hmm. And so for the serious news consumer, they can go directly to the serious news page. But I want to go back to the question you asked earlier about bringing in a new audience. Mm-hmm. We know, for instance, that Washington Post's circulation, newspaper circulation, has declined about 1% a year for the past 15 years. There's a problem there. And they have got to address that. And other papers are, I'm sure, relatively similar. So we've got to deal with a new audience. So how do we do that? We don't exactly know yet. Britney might be a way. Britney can be overdone, and frankly, AOL overdid Britney. But
not the only one, I'm sure.
Yeah. However, if it gets somebody to those pages, because when they click off of our welcome screen on the Brittany picture, they go to our news story. And from there, the navigation is all to the traditional news site. So if it gets them to start clicking around or start being comfortable with news online, I say great.
Yeah. I'm sure that people, a lot of people will have followed, at least in part, a little bit, the story of the merger, mm-hmm. the AOL Time Warner merger. And when it was first proposed, I guess back in 2000, it seemed like a match made in heaven. Here we had a major content provider and a major content generator. So, you know, one of them was looking for AOL was obviously looking for content to distribute, and Time Warner had the content, and they were looking for a new way, in addition to the ways that they already did it, to distribute. So they said, hey, well, this is beautiful. We put together AOL, Time Warner. This has got to be great. Biggest merger, I think, in history at that point. And now, a couple of years later, it turns out it looks like it was a disaster. Without going into all that reason, all of the reasons why, one thing I guess I am interested in is whether the fact that things haven't gone as well as everybody thought, what has that meant for what you do? Has that meant anything for what you do?
For what we do in the news area, it hasn't meant a thing. Because before the merger, Time.com was one of our major partners and one of the best mm-hmm. partners that we have had at the time and up to now. What it has meant since the merger for us is that if you view video on CNN.com, you have to pay. And if you view that same video on AOL, it's part of your membership. It's a benefit of membership, and you don't have to pay. So we've actually benefited from the merger. The merger itself, I know, I've read all the stories too, and it has not met people's expectations. To show what I know, when the merger was first announced, I thought, great, the company has just figured out a way to address the one major criticism that Wall Street had at that time, which was AOL didn't have a broadband strategy and it didn't have cable. And it's like, mm-hmm. great, now we're merging with Time. We've got Roadrunner. We've got cable. Wall Street's going to be jumping up and down. We've just answered their major concerns. And frankly, that concern of Wall Street just sort of disappeared. And it was seen as a content merger, which it also is, but for other areas of AOL, because the news area already had that content.
Yeah. So it's in terms of the resources that you have to do your job or the way that you do it, the fact that it hasn't gone all that well hasn't particularly affected you. It sounds like it hasn't really affected you at all.
No, it hasn't gone well, you know, perhaps on Wall Street. It hasn't gone well in the boardrooms. But the relationships that we have newsroom to newsroom with Fortune, with CNN, with Time are still excellent.
Yeah. It certainly seems the case that when the Internet was booming, everybody was really excited about that. And a lot of news organizations and other kinds of, you know, content generators rushed to get involved. A lot of them, the old mainline sources in print and broadcast. They obviously thought that this was going to be a new way for them to distribute their product. There seemed, though, a number of problems that came up very quickly, and they seemed all really to come down to the question, how do we make money doing this? Because a lot of people expected, still do, to get content on the Internet free. So initially, there was this feeling that if people had to pay for it, they weren't going to do it. And then maybe there was also this question that even if you could get some people to pay for it, how exactly do we do this? And some organizations that went the subscription route tried that and were not successful. It seems the one that stands out in my mind is the one that actually worked is the Wall Street Journal. And maybe you say, well, the reason that worked is that it's a niche audience and it's very specialized information, and that those people are perfectly willing and understand the idea that they're going to have to pay for it. So they wouldn't expect to get Wall Street Journal for free. But Slate, for example, tried, and they couldn't make a go of it. And now they're back on again, free to anybody who wants to look at it, just like they started out. You know, other organizations, maybe they have two tiers. Maybe they have a basic service that anybody can see. They try to get you, snag you with something, and then into their premium service, for which you might pay. But even there, a lot of them they're still giving it away because they say, okay, you want to look at the premium service today, we'll give you one day free pass, look at this free commercial, takes you 30 seconds, then you're in. So you're still, a lot of people are still giving the content away. And, that was kind of the question from the beginning. Well, we shouldn't be giving it away. You can't make money giving it away, but we don't really understand how are we going to convince people to give us money for it? That still seems to be all of those questions still seem to be really still this long into it, completely up in the air.
We caused the problem. We have to answer ourselves. What were we thinking? And I think what we were thinking is we don't want to miss the next big thing. Mm-hmm. I think we were afraid of being CBS and missing the fact that cable was going to be important and not buying into cable and not getting into it. And a lot of news organizations, newspaper organizations in particular, didn't know the internet, didn't understand the internet, but they were told by venture capitalists that it was the next best thing, next big thing. And they'd better be there. And you can make money off of it by being there. How? We don't know, but you will. So they did, and unfortunately, they gave away their only asset, their content. Once they did that, they slammed the door shut. There is no return. They then, from that point forward, made news a commodity. And if they tried to charge for that commodity now, I have 25 bookmarks for news sites. I'll just go to the next one. So newspapers caused their own dilemma. And news sites, news organizations cause their own dilemma. So now they have to figure out other business models, and like you say, they're trying the premium service route. I think that premium content in niche areas is indeed going to work. And I think that advertising is going to pick up and that we are going to see news sites become much more profitable as we figure out how to do advertising better online and what people want and will accept online. And the boom is gone and the flower's off of it, but the growth is coming back.
Yeah. Well, obviously, what you're doing with AOL is different in that it's a subscriber service, so
right.
people pay to get it. They understand that's the way that it works. But I still wonder how today at places like, well, since you worked at Washington Post, how at WashingtonPost.com. They think about this and whether what that gets them, is the additional exposure worth the fact that they're giving away content? Does Washington Post Online selling you any more copies of the print edition of the Washington Post? Or, how do they think about what they get out of their online presence?
Well, let's remember that an online news site is not for the newspaper. Is not just a news site, but it's also a critically important commerce vehicle, particularly for classified ads. So the reason WashingtonPost.com was started, as Don Graham said, was classifieds, classifieds, classifieds. And he was afraid that the yellow pages, electronic yellow pages, and at the time Microsoft Sidewalk, would come and steal what was the most lucrative part of the Washington Post newspaper's revenue chain, which was its classified ads. So they needed a vehicle to put those online. News actually came second, came as the container for that vehicle.
We have a caller. We'd certainly welcome others, and we have about 10 minutes left. Our guest is Gary Kibble. He is news director of America Online. So he's the editor in charge of AOL News. It's one of the top ranked news sites on the web. He's also in charge of AOL's government, politics, elections, and international areas. He teaches online journalism as an adjunct at University of Maryland and is visiting here at the campus. Questions welcome, 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. Here's the caller, line one in Urbana. Hello.
Yeah, you were talking about websites scrambling to grab customers as much as they can by offering all the content free. We've been in this recession for 3 years now, and people just don't have the money right now. And you see the same thing in the stores. You see sales, half price, all the retailers trying to get the customer to show up and buy something. And then it seems to me that once the economy, you know, if the economy ever gets moving again, that you can easily see things just turn right around. Websites and retailers know how to do this. Like you said, with the premium content, they'll just get the premium content and then the base free part won't have very much, and as soon as people have jobs again and they got money in their pockets, everybody's going to want to scramble for the premium content, and the websites will be making money again.
I think you're right, and I think that the other part of that again is the ads. I think that more and more online users are accustomed to seeing and using ads online, and the thing about online ads is that we can track them. We know how effective they are. People just assume that ads are effective in a newspaper. They have no idea whatsoever. We know precisely who's clicking on the ads online and who's buying as a result of those ads. So we have excellent data and information, and I think that as the economy shifts, more and more advertisers are moving online and dedicating a larger portion of their budget online, and that, of course, is going to help the news sites and help the consumers because it will keep the online sites functional.
Right. So there you go. They'll be just fine. It'll probably take, who knows, another half a year, a year, or whatever, something like that, and they'll be making money again.
Okay. I agree.
Well, right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Other calls, if someone wants to get in here real quick, I'm sure we'll get a few calls before we end up out of time. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. What do you know about people who actually do pay attention to the ads online? I do spend a lot of time online doing research and gathering information, and I don't think, to me, it's just clutter. It's nuisance, yeah, and I would just soon get it off my screen. So I don't really pay any attention to it. What do you know about people who actually do look at the ads online?
Well, there are certain areas that are really effective online, whether it's travel or mm-hmm. computers, and automotive. Those are very popular areas online because one of the most popular behaviors online is research. And that might mean academic research, but it also might mean I'm going to buy a new car, and should I get a Toyota or not? And so I go to all the websites and I check it all out. But on those websites are ads for those cars or more information about it. When you're in that sort of mode, when you're in that very directed mode, an ad is actually information for you.
Yeah. People in the news business have a very keen sense of who their competition is. Whether you're, if you're a broadcaster, you know who the competition is. If you're in print, and in some sense, you understand that within the community of news gatherers, all of those people are your competition in a way, depending on what kind of niche you're serving and who you think your audience is. Who do you think at AOL News, as you think of your competition, if indeed you do think that way, who do you think your competition is?
Yahoo News, MSN, CNN, MSNBC.com.
So it's the other people who are doing something similar to you. So you don't see yourself as, in a sense, competing with, say, the New York Times.
.com or the newspaper or both?
I guess I was thinking about the newspaper, but I suppose in a sense it would more be the case would be the NewYorkTimes.com than the print edition of the paper.
No, I mean, New York Times is an interesting example, again, because they're a partner of AOL, so we have each other's interest in mind, and we try to help promote each other. But I would say the main competition is more in the Yahoo and the MSN areas.
Yeah. Have you thought about potential ways that you can tap into smaller and smaller markets? So, for example, if you can go, I'm sure you can go to the AOL News and get the top world and national news, but if you want to know what's happening in Champaign-Urbana, you're going to have to go to the local newspaper, or you're going to have to go to local broadcast or any and all of those things. Have you thought about some way to try to get in on that as well?
Yeah, that's an area we haven't really figured out yet, because it either means scads and scads and scads of deals, or you know, we're not going to get there. What's interesting is that AOL News is probably used by more people in more local communities than the local newspaper website is in the first place.
I guess that's sad, although I would assume that that probably in a local community, say like Champaign Urbana, that more people actually read the physical newspaper than they do look at news on the newspaper's website, even though, our, for example, here in Champaign Urbana, the newspaper does indeed have a website. So that's a possibility. I would guess that it would just be a very, it would be a very small percentage, and they're still primarily concentrating on their traditional print edition of the newspaper, because that's where most of the demand is.
Makes sense. Yeah.
So I'm again sort of interested in that idea about what that speaks to is what kind of news people are interested in, and in fact how much they're actually interested in the news of their own community.
Well, or the need for the multiplicity of news, and it's great that people can get the local news by going to one place, and they can get national and international news by going to another. And ideally, for the local site to really succeed, they have the better opportunity of being both.
Yeah. How, as you think about what something like AOL News could be, the kinds of things that you would like to be able to do that you can't, whether they're technical limitations or it's just things that you haven't really figured out yet how to do, what are some of those things?
Well, you hit on it. Local news is really one of them. And one of the reasons that we can't get as local as we want to is because the Associated Press has something called the National Wire and the State Wires. And the State Wires would be a big answer to this. But unfortunately, because AP is a cooperative of newspapers and member organizations, they have voted not to allow organizations like AOL and Yahoo to have access to the State Wires, because they view it as, you know, too extreme competition.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if that were opened up to us, that would help a lot. But so far, that's not an option for us.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I thank you very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate you giving us some of your time. Gary Kebble, he is the editor in charge of AOL News. He's news director of America Online. He is in charge of AOL's government, politics, elections, and international areas. He also teaches online journalism as an adjunct at University of Maryland.